Today we take the time to honor and recognize our young people and their accomplishments, which are not just academic, but are also of a broader nature. We hear about something like Ronnie's volunteering. Education is one of the most important elements of good citizenship. It's also one of the most important elements of what it means to be a Christian. In fact, most of our educational institutions that we have in this country today find their root not in some academic atmosphere that was seeking knowledge for knowledge's sake alone. Most of our institutions have been started, and those who have not, let me tell you, say, most of our institutions have been started by church groups seeking to provide education for their members and others. The ones that have not been started by church groups have started and stood on those that have gone before. So it's important for us to take the time to recognize that educational accomplishments are not only one of the things we bring, but one of the most important things we bring to our life of faith. I was hoping that we'd have more of these windows full, because I know many of you have degrees, be they a high school diploma, a college diploma, an associate's degree, a certificate of accomplishment, or a certificate of achievement. All of these are evidence of our belief that education is important. John Wesley, in his ministry after 1738, after his moment of what he would call a heartfelt conversion, began to apply very practical things to his work. One of the concerns that Wesley had in England in the mid-1700s was the fact that most children did not receive any education at all. They were neither taught to read nor write, nor to do the arithmetic that was necessary for business transactions. All of these things were not open to most young people. In fact, they were not part of most adults' life either. And so he opened in 1739 a school called Kingswood School. And in 1742, they redeveloped Kingswood School and refurbished it. And for that occasion, John Wesley's brother, somebody who is very familiar to you all, Charles, since this church is named after both John and Charles, wrote a hymn, no surprise there, for the occasion of the rededication of Kingswood School. Here's the fifth verse. Unite the pair so long disjoined, knowledge and vital piety. Learning and holiness combined, and truth and love let all men see. In those whom up to thee we give, thine, holy thine, to die and live. Our education and our accomplishments in our educational systems really do not mean very much if it's but knowledge only. Charles Wesley grasped then, as he saw what was happening at Kingswood School, that the knowledge we gain is useful and appropriate only insofar as it's combined with a vital piety, a love of God, a love of neighbor, a passion for holy living in one's own life. That the two combined was what put together the kind of Christian citizen that made the world and the church the power to express the power of God. And so, out of this desire to unite knowledge and vital piety, many accomplishments were made. Indeed, it was this very verse that drove Thomas Cokesbury and Francis Asbury to start Coke College in Maryland as the first United Methodist Methodist institution in the late 1700s. And indeed, Matt and Charlotte graduated from the longest going United Methodist school that's in existence since 1830. The reality is the church has seen education and vital piety, knowledge and vital piety, as partners in faith growth, faith development. And so I invite you to think about this for our day and what it means to combine the two so long disjoined, knowledge and vital piety. The first thing is that we celebrate all seeking of knowledge. How many people here have a Bachelor of Science degree? Raise your hand. How many people here attended a land-grant university? Okay, yeah. These are institutions and these are degrees that have come about with the great technologicalization of our culture. How we deal with our agriculture and our mechanics, A&M, or our technological expertise, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, MIT, Caltech. These are important things. We've discovered so much and we've learned how to use our environment in so many ways. We've discovered with science so many wonderful things. And when those things have been combined with a passion for Christ, it is amazing what has happened in those situations. There's nothing wrong with the exploration of technological things, of agriculture, engineering, computers, biology, chemistry, physics. They're wonderful. And because of the God that embraces all, we can trust that as we seek knowledge in technological and scientific ways, that the God we worship, the God we love, the God who loves us, will not be forgotten and will not be overcome by our technological insights and learning. God is bigger than anything we can learn. And nothing we can learn will rob us of the mystery of God if we but remember our vital piety. And so we celebrate this thirst for knowledge in the sciences. But we also understand that there's a thirst for knowledge in the ways of culture, of the humanities, of the liberal arts. The ability to think, to use language, the ability to write, to express in creative ways through our poetry, our drama, our movies, our arts, that we're able to speak about mysteries and things of the human condition that are deep and wonderful. Indeed, sometimes they will bring us right to that vital piety that we so desire to have. We celebrate learning as United Methodists. We have over 180 United Methodist colleges and universities in this nation. Every one of our children is welcome at those places of higher learning. And we should acknowledge the strength of our church's witness for education, while also appreciating the wonders of other churches and their gifts of higher education. And we celebrate the achievement of those who have been educated and succeeded so well because of that education. But for you and I, as a church, this witness of the church, this witness of degrees that have been earned, asks us a question, proposes for us a question. What are we doing to embrace both knowledge and vital piety? Do we separate what we know from what we believe? Do we think knowledge is more important than our faith? Do we disjoin the two and keep them separate? We need to be careful and see what the marks are of a church that believes that knowledge and vital piety go together. And I would suggest to you that we might have some improving to do. For you see, we can know many things, but if we do not regularly and intentionally experience the presence of God in our prayer life, in our Bible study, in our Sunday school, if we are not regularly presenting our heart and mind for instruction by the Holy Spirit and by those who have learned and led and struggled with issues of faith, our knowledge of the world and whatever it brings is not in God's hands and is not in God's service. For too long, we have thought of Sunday school, not just in this church, but in many churches, as the place where we send children to receive religious instruction that will make them moral and at least semi-aware of what's going on in the faith. But no sooner than they reach that wonderful age of 16 and maybe before, we relegate them to a kind of no man's land. None of us as adults believe enough in Sunday school. None of us as adults believe enough in educating ourselves in Scripture to go to very many great lengths or commitment to learn what we do not know. And while we can stand up and say we would like to join those so long disjoined knowledge and vital piety, until we are practicing study both in our personal and our corporate life as adults, we cannot make a serious claim to believe what we say. And number two, our children are not stupid. And they will see Sunday school as that which children do, but which adults do not do. And they will gladly reach that age when they will find out that they do not have to go to Sunday school because they are too grown up. And so, they will go on to institutions of higher learning, and they will gather knowledge about the world, and they will grasp the intricacies of technology, and they will create the wonders of marvelous poetry and literature. But will they have a connection with God? And will we have given them the opportunity to do so? The Methodist Church and the Methodist movement was the fertile ground for higher education for any education for most of England and the United States. Not only that, the Methodist movement and the Methodist Church began Sunday school and Sunday schools because there was no other day to teach the important skills of reading and writing. And it is not a faithful witness, both to God's call and to our traditions, if we don't, in some way, figure out how it is that you and I will become lifelong learners of the Bible. To be really honest, there is nothing in the Bible that is beyond the understanding and the comprehension of a teenager. We all should be conversant in the Bible. We ought to be able to remember, not just have to go to refer to what it means to be saved. We ought to have a good idea about what it means to be a sinner, what it means to be justified, and what it means to be a holy person. These things you will not discover. These things you will not find in academia. You only find them where the church gathers and praises God and allows God to open our hearts and minds. It is dangerous to be full of a vital piety that will not be instructed by the wisdom and the ways of the world. It is a special kind of extremism that we want to avoid. But it is no more dangerous to be full of knowledge and aware of how the world works. The Lord, recognizing that it is not just our piety or just not our knowledge, but that it is both. And that it is time, if we are serious about wedding the two, that we be a church that takes seriously, not just for our youth and not just for our children, but for each of us as adults, the need for continued learning of vital piety, a living faith, a faith that is fed regularly by scripture, by prayer, by praise, by thanksgiving, and by service. Claire, who by the way is doing very well as she approaches her first appointment, said to this church when she left that it is time for the church to be in ministry to youth. And one of the ways in which the church, all of us, can be in ministry to youth is to understand that the learning we so desire for our children and our youth must also be our way of life. Let us pray. Lord, for the gift of knowledge, we thank you. But we thank you even more for the living presence of your love by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us not be so consumed by the extremes, loving knowledge and despising piety, or loving piety and despising knowledge. Rather, Lord, help us to unite the two so long disjoined, that we may find the fullness of God expressed both in our hearts and minds. Help us especially as adults to address this issue, because as we address it and it becomes our way of life, then our children will discover it to be theirs. How can we expect them to adopt a way of life, which is what you call us to, Lord, if we will not walk it ourselves? In Christ's name we pray. Amen.